And everybody in this room is struggling with something different. Everybody in this room has some kind of need that the person next to you may not have. It may be a spiritual need. It may be an emotional need. It may be a relational need. It may even be a physical need that you have. But the very first thing you should do is you should go to your Father in heaven and ask Him to fulfill that need. We've been studying a prayer of connection where Jesus says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And then we have a prayer of surrender. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And today we're going to be doing, "Give us this day our daily bread." If you're new to this, you'll see on my sermon notes at the very top, it has R1 plus R2. One of the things that I have been teaching since the beginning of the year is that your relationship with God and your relationship with others are the two things together that will make you a success in this life. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive or how you dress. If you're in the right relationship with God and you're in the right relationships with others, then you are a success in this life. And every sermon that I have will tell you where the sermon is going. And today, this sermon on our dependence on God also has to do with our relationship with others. And you'll see that later on. And of course, for those of you who are visiting, now you know what the R1 plus R2 stands for. Well, when it comes to give us this day our daily bread, bread in the Bible represents many things. I know growing up, I was a child of the 60s, and I remember seeing different young people go around and say, "Hey man, you got any bread on you?" And I knew exactly what they meant back then. They meant, "Do you have any money on you?" And for those of you who are smiling right now, you're just as old as I am. Teenagers are looking at me like, "I've never heard that before." But in the Bible, bread means different things. The very first thing it means is it represents the sustenance for life, the things you need to stay alive, food, water, and in our case right now, gas to get around town, amen? I don't know what happened while I was gone. Gas went up a whole dollar while I was gone. But sustenance for life, and in Psalm chapter 104 and verse 27, it says, "Lord, all living things depend on you. You give them food at the right time." So bread represents our food. It represents the things we need to live. The second thing in the Bible that bread represents is it represents God's word. It represents God's word. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, it says, "He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which you neither you nor your father had known. You teach that man does not live to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." You heard that scripture before, but one of the things that you need to understand about manna is the children of Israel were leaving Egypt. They were in the desert, and God was feeding them with manna every single day. And nobody really even knows what manna is. Actually, manna means "what is it?" And can you imagine going through life every day getting up? What are we having for breakfast this morning, Dad? We're going to have manna omelets. What else are we going to have today? Well, we're going to have fried manna. We're going to have steamed manna. We're going to have tossed manna. We're going to have barbecue manna. We're going to have manna on a stick, manna stew, and of course, manicotti. Bill, they are awake now. They are awake now. So it represents God's word. And then in letter C, it represents fellowship. Bread represents fellowship, the fellowship that we have with one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, "Is it not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ?" It goes to show our fellowship. And then finally, letter D, bread represents our salvation. Luke chapter 22 and verse 19, "He took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Before you turn the page, don't get ahead of me yet, because I need you to write one other thing down. If you go to John chapter 6, Jesus' words are, I am the bread of life. Write that down at the bottom of your page. I meant to put that in there, but I didn't get it in there. So salvation is represented by bread. So I came back from vacation. I am kind of out of touch doing my sermon notes. So as you turn over to the next page, you're going to have to make a correction for yourself, because I didn't change it in my notes. What does it mean to submit to God? Should say, what does it mean to depend on God? What does it mean to depend on God? This is a really tough question for me, because one of the things that I've recognized over the years is that I become pretty dependent on myself. As a matter of fact, I try my best not to depend on anybody. I grew up thinking this was the American way. This is what we're supposed to do. You don't depend on anybody, and you don't have anybody depending on you. And I taught my kids to be independent, so that when they were grown, they wouldn't be coming to me and asking for money that I don't have. And I've not depended in most of my life on other people. But what does it mean to be dependent on God? We live in a world that we can get anything we want just about any time we want. And there are so many opportunities for us out there that I think this idea of dependence is one that's foreign to a lot of Christians today. So how do we become dependent on God? The number one way is recognizing God as our source. Recognizing God as our source. A lot of times when we do things, we think, well, I'm the source of this. I work hard. I've done this. I earned this. This is what I did. I was having a conversation with somebody not too long ago, and they looked at me and they said, I have earned everything I've got in this life. And I started reminding them of things they hadn't earned that had been given to them. And the reality of it is we need to realize that God is our source for everything. Letter A, it all comes from God. Look at James chapter 1 and verse 17. The first part of the verse, it says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father. In the Greek, that word every there, it means every. Every good gift. Everything we have comes down from God. Nothing you have right now comes from anybody but God. God is the source of our blessings. Look at what it says here. Give us this day our daily bread. When we start recognizing God as the source, we become dependent on God. You know, God does give us the ability to work so we can earn a paycheck. But the reality of it is, if God wanted to, He could stop everything all of a sudden. And we need to recognize that. I have been ministering long enough to see people whose life has been going along really, really well, and then all of a sudden, everything goes south. When we recognize God as our source, and it all comes from Him, we become dependent on Him. Letter B, God meets my needs. You see, any needs you have in the world, God is going to meet it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, you can be sure that God will take care of everything you need. No one can meet your needs except for God. Now, God can meet all the needs in the world, but God can't meet all the greed in the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? God can meet all the needs in the world, but He can't meet all the greed in the world. And the problem with a lot of us is we're so greedy that we're not busy meeting needs of others. There's not a need on this earth that God cannot meet, but the reason why God doesn't meet all the needs of this world is because of the greed that many of us have in our hearts. Letter C, God wants to give it. God wants to give you what you need. He's not holding back waiting for you to beg for it. He wants to give you what you need. And I know a lot of times in my life, I've been dealing with people and I want to do something for them. And they don't want me to do it. As a matter of fact, I have people from time to time, I want to bless them somehow. And I'll say, let me do this for you. Oh, no, you're not doing that for me. And I'm going to do it for myself. But God is out there doing the same thing with us. He's saying, I want you to have the life. I want to give you life and give it to you abundantly. But we're saying, oh, no, I'm not going to let you do that for me. He wants to meet your needs. For in this, though you are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? As a dad, I want to give good gifts. As a matter of fact, one of the struggles I have as a dad, well, as a husband, is giving gifts at Christmas and birthdays. I just struggle with that. Because first of all, we all have everything we need, and giving them a gift, I don't even know what to do. I was, when my boys were teenagers, and they started saying, Dad, I want this for Christmas, Dad, I want this for Christmas, and then 2 weeks later, they'd say, but Dad, I've changed my mind, I want this for Christmas, and I want this for Christmas. And so eventually, I just started giving them money. Go do what you want with the money. And even today, I struggle with giving them gifts because I don't even know what they need. But God knows what you need, and he wants to give it to you. Look at letter D. He is waiting on me. He says in James chapter 4 and verse 2, the bottom part of the verse, you do not have because you do not ask God. This prayer that we've got here, give us this day our daily bread, is that we need to ask God for what we need in our life. And everybody in this room is struggling with something different. Everybody in this room has some kind of need that the person next to you may not have. It may be a spiritual need. It may be an emotional need. It may be a relational need. It may even be a physical need that you have. But the very first thing you should do is you should go to your Father in heaven and ask him to fulfill that need. Many times what we do is we think, well, I've got this going on in my life, and if I do this and I jockey this over here and I put this over here and make this happen here, then this might fall into place. And then we pray about it. But the reality of it is anytime a need comes up in our lives, we need to pray first and plan second. The second thing, what it means to depend on God, is seeking one day at a time. The scripture says, give us, and underline these words, this day. It's not give us for the rest of the year, it's give us this day. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Life is hard. Teenagers, I'm going to just tell you something. Life doesn't get easier, it gets harder. And the more you do and the more that happens in your life, the harder it gets sometimes. And when you look at your life like, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? I cannot tell you how many times I was in my 40s and people were saying, Neil, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I still hadn't figured it out. Life is hard. I go up to teenagers and say, what are you going to do with your life? I don't know. And the reality of it is you don't know. Life is difficult, but what Jesus is telling us here, what God is telling us, is that we need to seek one day at a time. Quit trying to live into the future. Quit trying to live down the road. I know one of the things that I'm doing is I'm watching my parents' age and watching Nancy's parents and watching what's going on, and I'm trying to think to myself, what am I going to do when I'm their age? I was so thankful to call my dad because I'm watching my dad and I'm trying to model my preaching and my life after his and the way he's handled things. And he's turning 85 or just turned 85 years old. And I asked him, I called him, and my question for him that day was, Dad, are you still working? And I never had to ask him because I said, how are you doing? He said, well, I'm getting ready to go to the hospital to see this person. I'm writing a manuscript for a lectureship that I'm getting ready to go to in Knoxville. And if I'm able, I'm going to travel here and I'm going to do this. He's living one day at a time. And we need to live one day at a time. One of my favorite sayings when I'm overwhelmed is, how do you eat an elephant? You know how you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you live this life? One day at a time. You cannot worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Letter A, stop worrying. Stop worrying. I'm just going to tell you right now, I think the most spiritual thing this church can do is to stop watching the news for 1 week. Just 1 week, shut it off, don't listen to it. Doesn't matter what happens in Ukraine, doesn't matter what happens around the world, just stop watching the news for 1 week. I can only watch for about 30 minutes at a time until I get in a bad mood. Because you start watching the news, first thing that I turned on when I was watching the news the other day is that we're getting ready to have World War III. And I'm thinking, well, you know, he's right. It looks a lot like 1939, what was going on. And you're seeing the rhetoric and the propaganda that's going on. You're thinking, this could very well be. And I got anxious. And then I had to work on my sermon. And then I had to start preaching to myself. We need to not worry. Seeking God means that we stop worrying. So don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about what's going on in the news, what could happen, what might happen. Stop worrying. So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. Letter B, pray about everything. Pray about everything. I kid you not, when I came home, I was in shock over the gas prices. I've just been gone in a week, and it seemed like every day it was going up. Luckily, it's leveled out. But the first time I had to go and fill up my truck, which has 33 gallons, you can imagine how hard that was on me. And I do a lot of driving. And the first thing that I did after I filled it up, I was thinking about, wow, this is just going to take a big hunk out of my budget this month, filling up my truck. But it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And so as I thought of that verse, I filled up my tank, and I watched the numbers click and click and click, until it was over $100. And I thank God for the money I had in my pocket that day that I could pay for the gas of that day. And I'm not going to be anxious about tomorrow. I'm not going to be anxious because food prices are going up. I'm not going to be anxious because of the things that are going on in the world. I'm not going to be anxious because every time I get anxious, I'm just going to give it to God. And I'm going to give it to him with thanksgiving in my heart. That takes us to the next point. Letter C, thank God in all things. I want you to underline this. Give thanks in all circumstance. Underline in all circumstance. It doesn't say give God thanks for all circumstances. It says in all circumstances. You're going to have things that come along in your life that are going to be bad. You're going to get a bad report from your doctor. You're going to find out that somebody close to you is sick or has died. But it says here, give thanks to God in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I cannot tell you how many times people have come to me and said, Neil, I'm trying to figure out God's will for my life. Can you help me? And I just look at them and I say, no, I can't, but God can. God's will for your life is for you to give thanks to him in all circumstances, not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. Whether or not you like what's going on or not, you are to be thankful to God for what's going, for what you've been giving in this life. Letter D, think right thoughts. It says here, finally, brothers, and I want you to just read this with me and think about the news. Just read this verse with me and think about the news and tell me what about the news fits. Whatever is true. Well, if it's on the internet, it must be true. If I heard it on the radio, it has to be true. If I saw it on TV, it has to be true. Whatever is noble. I cannot think of one noble news broadcast. If you can think of one, let me know. Whatever is right. Whatever is pure. Whatever is lovely. Whatever is admirable. If anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now I want you to write under your notes, news versus God's word. News versus God's word. Because if you're in God's word as much as you're watching the news, you're going to be thinking about what is true, what is pure, what is noble. If you're in the news all the time, you're going to be thinking about what is possibly not true, what is not noble, what is not right, what is not pure, what is not lovely, whatever is that's not admirable, whatever is excellent, and whatever is praiseworthy. But if you're in God's word, you're going to do that all the time. And number three, my dependence on God is sharing what He gives. The scripture here says, give us, not give me, but give us our daily bread. And I think for a lot of us, because we live in a narcissistic society where we take selfies and it's all about what we're doing and where we've been and how we're doing it and living the best life possible, I think for a lot of us, we would rather pray, give me my daily bread. But the reality of it is God recognizes the fact that we have a relationship with each other. If we're going to have a relationship with God, we've got to have a relationship with others. You cannot just have that relationship with God and not have a relationship with others. And when you have that relationship with others, you're going to pray, give us our daily bread. So what does that mean? Letter A, God wants to give through me. God wants to give through me. He wants me to be His hands. He wants me to be His mouthpiece. He wants me to be His feet. He wants me to do the work that He wants to do in this world. He has given me the opportunity to do His work when He saved me. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, underline these words, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God has given us everything we need, and He will continue to give us everything we need so that we can do His work. Now, He may not continue to give us what we need so that we can do what we want to do, but He will always give us what we need so we can do the work that He has asked us to do. This whole idea of generosity, I really wish that you could live in my heart. Because when I was growing up, I learned the rule that, you know, you kind of give 10%, and that was kind of the baseline of what you did. And if there was a special need, you could give a little bit more and that kind of thing. And as I got older, I got married. And when Nancy and I were married, I got to tell you, it was tough. It was tough to give, and especially we were in college and we weren't making any money. We were living in a rundown house and didn't even have any furniture of our own, and life was tough, and giving was even tougher because I'm sitting next to people driving new cars, and I'm seeing people who are established and have homes and all that kind of stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I think they just need to take care of it. They need to take care of this giving for now. But my parents and the people that have taught me in my heart, I could not give. And so I gave. And then as Nancy and I had children, it was tough then because you got small kids and they need a lot, don't they? You just, diapers alone were expensive. And we just kept on giving as steady as we could. And then the boys got a little older and Nancy went back to work. And thank God Nancy went back to work. She has provided me with the life that I never dreamed I had, would have. And we quit just giving because it was the right thing to do. We started giving, not of compulsion, but cheerfully. And we started giving in ways that I never dreamed possible for us. And over and over and over, God's given me what I need. We were down in St. Kitts while we were on the cruise, and Chris Ray is a troublemaker, I'm going to tell you. She was on a bus tour with us, and I asked the guy, are you a Christian? He says, yeah, I'm Pentecostal. And I said, we're all Church of Christ. There was, all of us were on the bus, we're part of the group, and we're all Church of Christ. And Chris Ray said, can you take us by the church? And I'm like, I'm not working, Chris. I'm not working. And we went by there, and we met the preacher and his wife, and we got to talk about the church. And Chris, guess who called me yesterday? His name's Prentice, Theodore Prentice. And he called, and we talked. And there's a need that we can take care of, because God's given us all things at all times. And it's because we recognize that God gives us so that we can give for others. I wish I could just show you from my heart, not from my words, about when God pours into your hands. If you squeeze like this, this is all you have. But when you open your hands and you let God give through you, everything that is abundantly more than you ever ask or imagine flows through you and onto other people. And if we as a church could just learn that kind of generosity, and I'm not asking for you to give more at church, I'm asking for you to give and be generous to others. And if you need to give more at church, that's between you and God. But my point being is this, in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And there's times when I'm giving, I'm thinking, you know, I could probably use this for my retirement. But I watch my mom and dad, who've spent their life giving and giving and giving, living a good life, maybe not having everything they want, but having everything they need. Letter B, God meets my needs so I can meet the needs of others. Share your food with the hungry, open your homes to the homeless, poor, give clothes to those who have nothing to wear, and do not refuse to help your own relatives. Then my favor will shine on you like the morning sun, and your wounds will be quickly healed, and I will always be with you to save you. My presence will protect you on every side. When you pray, I will answer you. When you call to me, I will respond. Letter C. God multiplies what I give him. Whatever you give to God, whatever you give to the glory of God, God's going to multiply it in some way. Now, don't be giving because, oh, I need more money. I'm going to give. But I'm going to tell you, every time I give, God blesses me in some way. We have a tree in front of our house that's breaking up our driveway. It's really gotten to be a mess, and I keep putting it off and putting it off, and I finally decided I wanted to cut it down, and Nancy begged me. She says, Neil, you're old, you're decrepit, you can't do this, which made me think, I'll show her. She begged me not to do it, and I finally said, okay, I won't do it because I am old and decrepit. and I hired a guy to come and cut the tree. And for the last 2 weeks after I hired him, he's coming on Monday, for the last 2 weeks, I've had it in my heart, you know, Neil, you could save all that money if you just get up on that aerial lift and cut that yourself. And then I got to thinking, you know, that would be really, really cool to be on that aerial lift at my age, showing my neighbors what a man I still am. And there's something powerful about running a chainsaw. And my neighbors would look to me and say, there is my hero. Cutting that tree by himself, and at his age, he shouldn't be doing that, but he's a man of danger. And then I would come back to reality that my shoulders hurt, my knees hurt, my back hurts, and I would decide every day, I'm not calling and canceling. And thankfully, he's coming tomorrow, so I don't have to fight this battle of being the hero that I think I am. But the reason why I'm telling you this is because God will meet your needs if you'll let him. And I was going to pay this guy. And I was hating it because I thought I could use that money for something else. And guess what? Nancy just got her bonus at work. And it's more than enough to cover to get the tree cut down. God is here to meet your needs. But you have to be dependent on him. We as a church, we as individuals, got to be quit being dependent on ourselves. There's nothing wrong with working hard, and I don't believe for one minute God intends for us to sit back and do nothing and wait for the blessings to come in. Reminds me of a friend of mine who lost his job, and he was trying to be very spiritual about it. And I said, so how's the job search going? He says, I'm not doing anything. I am just praying and letting God handle it. And I said, dude, you're not going to get an interview that way. We have our part, God has his part, and we've got to do our part, and I think we should work hard, we should be conscientious, we should be good stewards with our money, but I think when we become dependent on God to meet our needs, and we're thankful in all circumstances, when we're thankful in all circumstances, God would richly bless us. The problem with today's lesson is you can hear the words and you can read the scriptures, but it all comes down to what's going on in your heart. We sing an invitation song each week to encourage each other. We want to encourage each other to become passionate followers of Jesus Christ. And singing that invitation song is one of the ways to do that. And today, as we sing that invitation song, I want you to pray a prayer with me before we sing it and while we're singing it. And that prayer is a prayer of dependency. Will you bow with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, give us this day our daily bread. And Father, as we turn our hearts to you, as we've been so richly blessed, help us, Father. Help us to be dependent on you in all things and at all times. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. The invitation is yours as we stand and sing.